the gag, who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It's just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. On the back of a positive result at Pittodrie this weekend, we're joined by John Berry. John, welcome along, mate. It's been a wee while.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You all right?
I'm doing fine. Sorry, Jay and Buster here as always. How are you guys?
Aye, no bad.
I'm very good, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, it was only John that made the trip to Pittodrie. Not the only Motherwell fan that made the trip, I don't think, but
the only wasn't one him anymore. Wasn't him anymore.
The only one that's present tonight, certainly. And after seeing the highlights in BBC Alba last night, I was really quite encouraged by the performance, John, and to come back from a goal down against a good Aberdeen side. Happy days, really.
It's probably first time in a long, long while that I enjoyed the football. You know, the performance was great. We were very unlucky to be a goal down at half time. And to be honest, I think just a lot of credit. I know he wasn't everybody's cup of tea or first choice for the new manager, but I think a lot of credit's got to go to McGee, because there was a game plan. Every player looked like they knew what they were supposed to be doing. Let them kind of have the ball for the first little while, and then we kind of grew into the game and became stronger. And like I said, they kind of took the lead. Soft free kick against their own play, really. And we were very unfortunate to be a goal down when going in at half time.
Jay, McGee implemented double training sessions throughout last week. And it's clearly paid dividends. The team looked a lot sharper, a lot fitter, and they finished the game well as well, grabbing the equaliser with roughly 12 minutes to go, and then they peppered the Aberdeen goal in the closing stages. Looked like they could have went on to win it.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the fitness, that's obviously something that we sort of remember from McGee's first time. You know, you looked at guys like Jim Patterson, Stephen McGarry, guys who weren't exactly the fittest, and yet McGee obviously, you know, looks at fitness and that, you know, ability to last the 90 minutes and to keep going strong is obviously a big thing in his outlook. So yeah, it was encouraging. I mean, you know, as you said, I didn't make the trip either. But from the highlights, it did look as though we rode our luck a little bit early on. In terms of the Aberdeen chances, it certainly looked as though they could have been 2, possibly 3-0 up. But yeah, to finish as strongly as we did, I'd imagine, you know, obviously John can confirm either way, but I'd imagine if you were at the game, based on some of the chances and some of the saves that the Aberdeen keeper pulled off late on, possibly slightly disappointed not to actually take 3 points, which is incredible to say considering the absolute dross we've had to put up with this season.
I think you'd be right there, Jay, to be honest. It wasn't that you weren't really disappointed, you were just... It just kind of came away thinking that was a brilliant game. Both teams were really going for it at the end, and you would have taken a point at the start of the day, so you weren't really that bothered with the result in that way. But I mean, some of the saves that Ward was pulling off, you just thought, it's just that it kind of was almost looking at that way, that they were going to break back up the park and end up nicking all 3 points. But thankfully, that never happened. And you know what? If we had got the second goal, I don't think anybody could have begrudged us it, because certainly for the last 20 minutes, we were a much better team. But, I mean, I know fitness, like I said, you know, there was a game plan. The players looked fitter, certainly, and that's only after nearly a week. But the big thing for me was attitude. The attitude of a lot of the players, just, it was night and day. They looked like they really wanted to play for Motherwell again, which is good. And, you know, a lot of the guys who'd maybe been getting a bit of stick the last few weeks really stepped up. And I don't think, like said Josh, I don't think his attitude's ever really wrong. I think he's always puts in 100%, but it was good to see him have a really good game, because I think he needed it. And I think being away from Fir Park wasn't a bad thing for him as well. And I actually made the point in the game, the best games I've seen Josh Law have for Motherwell had probably been away from Fir Park. So it was good day for him, good day for Kieran Kennedy again. Great day again, middle of the park for Grimshaw. And we're starting to really see his quality shining through as well. So, yeah, that was great. And then, I mean, like, so I feel like I need to give a mention for Lionel Ainsworth, because I think the last time I was on, we thought he'd chucked it. We thought he couldn't be bothered playing for Motherwell anymore. And to be honest, since then, he's just became this totally different player and probably one of the guys that looks the most up for the cause of anybody. So, all in all, I think it was a really positive day.
Buster, it's incredible what difference there is in a week in football. Last week, we were quite downbeat in the performance against Celtic, albeit McGee was just in the job. This week, we've produced a much more positive performance, a lot more energy involved in it. And I think there's quite a few members of support that are now looking ahead with a degree of optimism.
I think you're right. I said last week that the Celtic game, in my opinion, was already written off before it started. I know, you know, Bukes, who was on, wasn't a big fan of that, but I think it was already written off, basically. As has been said before, I wasn't there, but it was good to hear on the radio guys like Marvin Johnson were really going for it. You know, Johnson's been pretty poor since the first half in Inverness, and it was good to hear that he was having a good game. As John says, Josh Law's maybe no one of the guys you'd accuse, sorry, of lacking attitude, but he had a brilliant game as well, for what I was listening to. As you say, it's night and day, and if that's the sort of reaction that McGee's going to get, he might not be the, as you say, the favourite of some of the fans, but I can see them turning around pretty quickly if we start putting in performances like that.
And just to look at the goals, we'll talk about the one we conceded in a wee minute, but another goal for Scott McDonald, this one off the bench, but when he's been playing a striker role this season, he's scored goals. It's kind of justified the move from the centre of the park, which we saw in the early part of the season.
Well, I think that's, everybody knows he's a striker, so it doesn't come as a surprise to anybody that, you know, when you stick him up front, he's going to score goals. I think the only thing that really surprises me is the two blatant shoves he's got away with in his last two goals. He's allowed to do what he wants. He shoved the centre half twice the last two times he scored, and don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining, but you know, it was pretty blatant, I thought, and he seems to be getting away with it, so good on him.
Before we talk about the goal we conceded, we discussed it after watching the highlights that I thought we had a real claim for a penalty when Andrew Considine appeared to wipe out Dio Robinson as he got a shot away. What was your take on that? And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts as well, John, having been at the game.
John, just let me just go first here, because I was going to say, and as I said to you as well, Andy, if he plays a pass in the middle of the park like that, and then, you know, a second half later gets took out, it's a free kick and a yellow card all day. Don't get me wrong, it probably wouldn't have been a soft penalty, but, you know, as I say, if that was in the middle of the park and he's playing a pass, he's going to get a foul for that every second day, every day. So it's kind of a strange one that it seems to happen when he gets a shot away, or when anybody gets a shot away in the box, and, you know, you get barged over or tackled like that. You don't really see them given, but I don't see why not, to be honest with you.
I'm just looking at, I'm pretty sure it was a number six, which appears to be Mark Reynolds, who we should really know, given he played with Motherwell. So, regardless, John, did you get a clear sight of it?
Nah, to be honest, no, because, you know, it's way up the other end from where the away fans sit, as you guys know from previous matches at the Todgy, but it was more, there wasn't any real reaction to it. It was more just, you know, the shot that people were reacting to, but it's kind of funny that you bring it up, because it is something that when you look back at it again, you thought, well, maybe in another day would have been, but like Buster says there, it might have been one that you'd have maybe thought it was a bit soft. But yeah, there wasn't really much of a reaction to it. There wasn't anybody screaming for it, certainly from the away end. But I don't know, it's just that you don't really see it as well from up there. Like you're mentioning a Scott McDonald push, didn't really see that, just saw him heading the ball, putting it by Ward. So again, it's the beauty of looking at television footage sometimes that gives you that extra kind of angle of it, if you like. But no, it wasn't really anything that folk were going wild for it at the end, certainly not. But mentioning Theo Robinson, actually, there was quite a lot of positivity coming from the away end towards him when he came on as well. Him and McDonald both, you know, started to link up pretty well and stuff as well. So I don't know if it's McGee maybe trying different combinations in training or whatever to find out who his best front two are, but certainly all combinations that he used against Aberdeen seemed to be working and seemed to know where the other one was running, which is the first that we've actually seen this season as well, I would say.
Moving on, Jay, to the goal we conceded. A set play. I don't know whether there's maybe a case for Adam Rooney being offside, but we need to improve defending these cross balls. We've said it so many times. It's an Achilles heel, but we can't continue to lose goals in that manner if we want to push up the league.
That's it. I mean, you know, there's the talk about whether it was possibly offside, but, you know, as mentioned, you know, the Reynolds one that was chalked off, I think, you know, there's a case that was possibly onside. And, you know, it's just one of those ones that might, you might get it, you might not. I think it's poor defending regardless. You're spot on there. And it has been a bit of a, you know, a weakness for us this season. We do seem to concede a lot of goals, pretty much carbon copies of that. You know, the ball into a dangerous area, but not dangerous enough that your defenders or even your goalkeeper should be at least mopping up some of them. And yet we seem to just concede so many goals like that. As much as last week I made my feelings known about Mark McGee, I do at least acknowledge that he is a good manager, and I have no doubt that he'll have noticed this. If he's, you know, I think he did say that he was going to spend some time watching games of this season. So if he's already watched goals we've conceded this season and then witnessed what happened at Pittodrie, he can't fail but realise that we are an absolute shambles of balls into the box. So hopefully, hopefully we will see some sort of improvement on that. Of course, you know, how you improve on that, it might be down to, you know, the personnel you've got. If we've got players who just aren't comfortable dealing with balls into the box, then it might be that come January we need to go in and bring in, you know, maybe another centre half. But yeah, other teams are going to know. You know, we've got Kelly on Saturday, and I'd be very surprised if they don't, you know, at least acknowledge that there is a chance of them getting a goal just by launching the ball into the box, because it is something we're really, really poor at.
John, is Jay touched upon there, another away fixture on Saturday, a trip to Rugby Park. A game on the artificial surface as well, which poses its own problems, but a game against Achilles side in much improved form from the side we met earlier on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Kelly have been interesting to watch the last kind of few weeks, how well they've been doing all of a sudden. Since it looked like Gary Locke was going to be the next kind of boss to get the bullet, they seem to have really turned it around. And to be fair, even when they were terrible in the game at Fir Park, we were far from convincing against them as well that day. So I think it'll be a difficult game. The good thing for us is we won there last season, and hopefully the players don't have this artificial pitch kind of hanging over their heads. That seems to be the case under McCall for a lot of games. So I think that's another positive you can take from it. You know, you went there, you won last season. go and do it again. But I think after our performance, I mean, I don't think we should be nervous or apprehensive going playing Kelly. I think you just go and take it as it were. And I think Kelly will be one of those teams, to be honest, this season that will go in these kind of wee purple patches and then fall away again, and maybe get another couple of wins here and there. Don't think they've got the worst squad in the world, but I certainly think we're more than capable of going and getting something from the game.
Buster, for all we're talking up, the fact that we got a good result on Saturday, you now want to see the team push on and McGee to get his first win. It's like, as John said there, it's a fixture we won last season towards the tail end. You would really hope for 3 points going into this one.
Definitely. As John mentioned as well there, when Kilmarnock came to Fir Park, it was probably the two worst teams in the league at that point. Kilmarnock were absolutely bogging, and you know, we were slightly better. It was probably one of the worst games this year as well. But there's, again, as John mentioned, the artificial park thing. I'm never a big fan of them anyway. But the one thing it might work for us is, you know, if McGee's, you know, trying to play the way he played in 2007, if he's trying to install that sort of thing again, the ball rolling in a, you know, a fairly level, smooth surface could work in our favour. But it all depends, you know. Kilmarnock players will be a bit more used to it than ourselves, a bit more used to the bounce, things like that. So, as you say, they're a different team if we went the team that came to Fir Park. So it'll be interesting to see, and hopefully, as you says, we can come away with one.
Jay, do you see McGee perhaps altering the side with injuries in mind in that artificial surface? I know guys like Stephen McManus have struggled previously. Stephen Pearson has been very injury prone despite being a big performer for Motherwell when he has been fit in his return spell.
If we're talking about players being rested because they may get injured and it means that Steve McManus might miss out, then yeah, why not? But in terms of, I don't know. I mean, I think every manager will be a bit different in how they view, just like the rest of us. I think everybody's got a different opinion on artificial pitches. If there are players that, you know, you don't want to risk on them, then fair enough. Having had what seems like a good performance at Pittodrie, I think it would be, you know, maybe slightly counterproductive to make any drastic changes. So I think maybe McGee might hope that he can put out a side, you know, reasonably close to what we did at Aberdeen. But of course, you know, these things, sometimes you can't really account for these kind of things. There might be players that have to miss out, unfortunately. But, you know, for me, it's a side issue. You know, every time we're playing against a team like Kelly, we do end up, you know, putting a big, you know, a good few minutes towards the plastic pitch. For me, you know, again, looking at the positives of it, as was said, you know, if we're going to be playing a good attacking, fast, you know, passing, moving football, then we should be looking to utilise the pitch for its positives. You know, the fact that it is a flat surface, the fact that you can get the ball down and play football with it, and focus more on the positives rather than, you know, the negatives of injuries and stuff like that.
I do think, after Saturday, I think it would be surprising for me if Lasley was risked on it, because, you know, coming off, I don't know how bad the knock is, but I just think it might be one of those games that McGee thinks, I'll try someone else in centre mid. He was walking quite okay at the end, Lasley, when he came up to kind of applaud the away fans, but you can't take anything from that, really. And Ainsworth as well, I think. He had very kind of heavy strapping on his knee when he came on at Aberdeen, and to be honest, wasn't he moving as fast as he normally does? He wasn't as quick as he normally is. But again, came on and had a right good game. So you never know; these things might obviously they're dealing with it in their own way, and they know how to manage these kind of injuries.
Well, that's if Lasley has to miss out, then you know, fair play. But as long as it's, you know, a midfielder that comes in, preferably not Jake Taylor, but the idea of putting in, you know, Lang at centre mid again and things like that, you know, you want to see a bit of progress being made rather than, you know, going back to something that didn't quite work. But yeah, I mean, it's a game that we should be looking to win. But as I said, you know, rather than, picking up on the negatives. And again, if Lasley's been injured, then you know you'd maybe consider that he might be rested for Saturday, whether it was a plastic pitch or not. You know, depending on the knock itself. But it'll be an interesting one. It'll be an interesting one because obviously the Celtic game there was some strange decisions in terms of the lineup. He seems to be getting a little bit closer to what I mean. You know, as was mentioned earlier, the fact that Scott McDonald finally gets played up front and scores a goal isn't any surprise whatsoever. He's been, you know, he should either have been on the bench or playing as a striker the entire season. He's been utterly wasted at attacking mid. So now that we have a manager who at least recognises that, then there'll naturally be a wee bit more positivity. So if we go into Saturday and actually get the ball down and try and play football, then you know it'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough ask because I think the game on Saturday will be tougher than Pittodrie. You know, I know that Aberdeen have got a lot of great players. Everybody talks about them having aspirations for the title, but they're on a really, really poor run. A lot of Aberdeen fans online were so bad. We're talking about how they had the fear about the game on Saturday. So I think that it's often easy to kind of think, oh, it's Pittodrie. It's a really hard place to go without really, you know, being realistic about how poor a run Aberdeen were on. I think Kilmarnock at the moment, the way they're playing, again, the fact that they're used to on the playing in the plastic pitch might be a factor, but particularly the way they're playing just now, the results they're getting, I think Saturday will be a bigger test than Pittodrie was.
I think you might be right there, purely because, I mean, when you do look at it, Pittodrie's always a tough place to go to. And a point, like I say, I don't think any Motherwell fan would have turned their nose up at a point at the start of the day, but when you do look at it, that was Aberdeen's best result in like 5 games. Don't want to get too carried away with it. So I think you might be right. I think we're in for a tough afternoon again Saturday, but you saw in this league, you can quite quickly get a wee run of games going together and you'll be right up. We're only 8 points away or whatever from third and fourth place. So it's just one of those kind of crazy leagues at the moment.
Yeah,
I was just going to say
expectation levels will be raised as well. Buster, just before you make that point, we've talked about the artificial park. Do you think that is a circumstance is over exaggerated going into these games?
Not necessarily. There are some things that are over exaggerated about it, and some things that aren't. For the injuries, for example, I don't think there's any concrete proof that it causes more injuries. But I think if you're the team that's playing on that park, you're used to the way the ball rolls, you're used to the way the ball bounces, you know when it's you can catch it, when you can't catch it. So if it's just going to, you know, roll aimlessly towards the byline. So there are things like that which Kilmarnock would be more used to than we would. You know, they're wee minor things, but it's the bounce and things like that. I seem to see catch the Motherwell players that whenever, you know, when we went to Hamilton or we went to Kilmarnock previously, you'd see the players, you know, expecting the ball to bounce shin height, stick their leg up to control it, and next thing you know, it's bouncing off their knee and, you know, their second touch is a tackle, which is not too unfamiliar for them this season anyway so far, but it's not really. It's one is as Jay says, it splits opinions, but I'm kind of against plastic parks no matter what level you're playing at. I'm no for them anyway.
I certainly think there's a case for going in the Thursday or Friday, being allowed to train on the surface as well and get a kind of gauge of how it will play. I know that they can be heavily watered or they can be kind of altered to suit the home side, but I think it represents somewhat of an advantage. So I think that the playing field should be kind of levelled to a certain extent. I know that when you play at home, you should have an advantage because you've got your home crowd there and so on and so forth. But I think that there should maybe be rules implemented there that allows the visiting team to at least train on the park prior to the game.
See, for me, in terms of the injuries, I don't think that it specifically causes injury, but I think I can see the logic behind if you have, you know, a niggling injury or a history of injury. I would imagine, I've not read up on it, I don't really know, but I would imagine, you know, just the kind of the makeup of an artificial pitch, you know, there's going to be more impact on your joints and things like that. So I can kind of understand that. in terms of the bounce, in terms of the advantage you get, I completely agree. I completely understand. But I do think it's something that we only ever talk about when it's a plastic pitch. And that for me is what is, you know, so overstated about it. You know, at the end of the day, Tynecastle is a very wide pitch. We don't spend 5-10 minutes talking about how Hearts are used to playing on such a wide pitch. Fir Park has got a slope. We don't spend ages talking about how, oh, well, the slope, you know, the run of the ball might benefit Motherwell. For me, you know, the plastic pitch is just, you know, something that makes Kilmarnock's home pitch unique to them, the same way as many grass pitches differ. And I think that's where I think that it's overstated. I don't disagree in the slightest. It will give them a slight advantage. They will be more used to playing on it like every other team. But there's no reason, you know, when it's a plastic pitch, it somehow becomes this, you know, big talking point. Whereas there are, every pitch is different in some way, and every pitch, you know, is used to being played on by its sort of the home side.
I actually completely agree as well. You know, it was something I was going to say, that teams are used to their home pitch anyway, no matter what. But, you know, as you say, I think you've hit the nail right in the head there. It's one of those things, but I'm still not entirely convinced by plastic parks at any level. I know you see them Champions League and that sometimes when Spartak Moscow and things like that were playing. And, you know, I thought it was kind of shoddy there, so I don't think it's something that adds anything, you know, to the game other than it being a bit weather resistant.
No, that's fair enough. I think it will always pretty much divide opinion. There isn't a great deal more that we have to discuss. I think we should definitely take the time to thank everyone who attended, particularly the fantastic panel for the Q&A night on Wednesday night there. Ian Buchanan produced a brilliant video for the night too, which went down really well, particularly with the players seeing their goals and so on. Davey Young, who recorded the evening as well. So we've released the first half of the evening on SoundCloud. We'll have the second half out during the week. Guys, it was a bit disappointing, the turnout in the night, but it was an event that we enjoyed.
Oh yeah, and can I just say, very, very ably hosted by yourself, Sparrow. It was a top performance. Bust obviously doesn't agree.
But he's talking more about how horrible I sound. You still there?
Ah, sorry, I didn't realise I'd muted my microphone. Sorry. What I had actually jumped in and said, but nobody could hear me, was it was great to, you know, hear the guys talk again. Two or three of them, you know, I'd spoke to, two or three of them I'd had to listen to because I was absent. But, you know, even though some of the old ground was gone over again, it was great to actually see them all talking and, you know, interacting with each other as well when they were telling the stories. You know, the great guys there, and it was a great night. And as I say, Sparrow, you put a lot of effort into organising it. So it's, you know, congratulations to yourself as well. There, it was a smashing night for everybody there.
Yeah, it's something we'll perhaps look at doing at a later date again. But you can check that out on the SoundCloud. The Remember Well question for this week was the most impressive individual performance in a Motherwell jersey. John is the guest. We've not even told you that we were going to ask you this, so we're really putting you on the spot here. Is there anything that, any particular performance that jumps out?
Probably, do you know what? Probably, I think McFadden, seeing the, we have gave Livingston a hammer in the last game of the season when we kind of found out we weren't going to get relegated. I just thought that was a brilliant, like, performance from a guy that, you know, kind of went on to be was a great for Motherwell and probably should have went on to bigger things if it wasn't for injuries. So that was probably one of my kind of stands out for me, certainly from being younger. You know, McFadden's display that day was tremendous.
Jay, what about yourself? Is there a game that sprung to mind when the question was posed?
Yes, there was, and unfortunately, John Berry's just nicked it. When the question was first mentioned last week, when we were talking about it, that was the one that jumped to my mind. You know, I remember it quite. I think it was about the week after we'd just been told that we were being allowed to stay up, and Faddy was different class. I think he also got given the captain's armband near the end. The chance of, are you watching Bertie Volks? It was just a cracking performance.
Buster, there has been many kind of individual performances. Some players have went on to great success in claret and amber. Others have kind of faded away. Is there any for you?
Well, one of my favourite players ever from Motherwell, probably one of everybody's favourite players ever from Motherwell, was Tommy Coyne. You know, I've seen him perform, win his games on his own. But if you're talking about, you know, sort of one-off performances, I don't think you can look any further than David Ferrer going on at half time, scoring a hat trick, and then, you know, making a few other shite appearances after that, and then disappearing into obscurity. So I think that sort of hat trick against Hibs.
Did they not come on and, like, before he'd even started his hat trick, like, scrape the crossbar from about 45 yards with a free kick, and then went on to score?
Yeah,
I
think
it was madness.
I think he shot for the halfway line with a free kick, scraped the top of the bar, and then he scored three identical goals, and you never heard from him again. So if that's not memorable, I don't know what is.
He certainly didn't live up to his initial billing, that's for sure. But there's been many responses to the thread that was posted on the Steelmen, and then we adopted as our own question. Ali Max. Oh, sorry, that was in the response to Wee and Hood. Said Ian St. John's 2.5 minute hat trick. Else have we got? Mio's went for Paul Lambert in Dortmund. Cooper against Aberdeen around 1992. Total humiliation of the Dons' defence, who were very good at the time for the duration of the 90 minutes. Daniel Sengewald, Frazzles went for in the 2-1 win against Celtic. That was the one that James McFadden and Sean Fagan scored then. He's went on to add that he was magnificent in distracting Larson into missing 17 sitters in that game. Sean Hutchison's last game at Pittodrie is one that he's added in as well. Brazilian said that goalkeepers should surely feature in this question, and they offered some suggestions to match names like Maxwell, Dykstra, Marshall, Ruddy and Darren Randolph. There's just so many. After being battered by Jim Clark in that final and still not getting man of the match, despite having ruptured his spleen, was quite a performance, it must be said.
Or his inner stomach, as Stevie Kirk called it.
There was also the one, a game against Rangers, where Frankie de Bordeaux had some game. I think we won 1-0 around about Christmas. And Frankie de Bordeaux made a couple of great saves.
Yeah, that was a Boxing Day game. That was the last time we had beaten them until we beat them in the first leg of the playoff. Graham's went for Gary Kenneth when we beat Dundee United 4-0 at Tannadice. Desp has went for Gordon Marshall and Skippy Sunday. He believes that we should have been 5 or 6 down by the time Scott McDonald scored. Oh, there is so many. If you can go into Steelmen online, there's one for Tommy Coyne from Well Army as well, a double against Celtic at Hampden. Two lobs over Gordon Marshall to come back from 2-0 down. As I say, we'll set our own Remember Well question ahead of next week's podcast. And we'll have them up in the Facebook and the Twitter over the course of the week. John, can I just take the chance to say thanks very much for coming on tonight, mate. It's been much appreciated and enjoyable as always.
No bother, thanks for having me anytime.
Jay, Buster, thanks as always, guys.
Cheers.
No bother, thank you.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. The boy looked at Johnny, said, "My word, that was fun." Oh, and he did it with his hat on, and a saddle and a gun. He's almost eating breakfast at the Sideview Hotel. Oh, slipping down fine. City's very pretty in the nighttime. Oh, why don't you live so? Everybody goes. Time, oh, don't you miss? Everybody got it.